Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
216-474-0092. It's Spencer German, G. Bush, in with you this morning until 10 a.m. filling in for the guys. We are going to get here back into the Browns conversation a little bit, but also coming up, big one for the Cavs tonight. Is this their first chance to really get a statement win? We will just explore those things with you coming up. We got Danny Cunningham to dive into the Cavs conversation in the 8 o'clock hour. A lot of good stuff still to come here this morning, and we appreciate you if you're just getting up and tuning us in, listening on along, on your way to work or otherwise. We talked about Paul D. Podesta and him getting potentially phased out of this organization. Maybe that is the move that the Browns end up making here at the end of the season to sort of signal we've made change and we're doing some things differently. Sitting here today, I don't know for, like, I can't say for certain that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are not safe, but I also can't tell you that they're both totally safe. If one has to stay and one has to go, who do you trust more to sort of be part of the solution rather than the problem for this organization moving forward?
Listen, I'm gonna be honest. I haven't figured it out. It's like going through the stages of grief. I flip flop every single day. One day I'm mad at Stefanski. It's like a kid going through a divorce from his parents. Like one day it's my mom. One day it's my dad. And one day I don't like neither one of them. It's difficult because, and let me explain why. When you look at what the Cleveland Browns have done from a drafting standpoint,
yeah.
They have not done a good enough job at the marquee positions to find young talent and develop that talent. Now, you look at positions like we've been trying to find a defensive end opposite of Myles Garrett for how long? Can't do it. We've been trying.
Well, they finally did it with Za'Darius Smith the last couple of years as a free agent. It seems like they're basically in like a rent a pass rusher program. Like they every offseason they just go get a guy and hope that it works.
We can go back to Emmanuel Ogba. We can go back to Olivier Vernon. You can go back to Jadeveon Clowney.
Yep.
It's the same move. It's just these are just jag older guys. You haven't found no young dude that is like, okay, that's a guy. Also, you still haven't identified a quarterback. You don't have one of those. So if you look at the marquee positions, you take a look at corner, quarterback, left tackle, defensive end, receiver. They go get veteran receivers or trade for receivers. They have not developed one of them. And that's a problem. You look at Denzel Ward. Hey, look, I like Denzel Ward. He's a concussion away from not playing, I guess. But they didn't draft him. That was Dorsey.
Yeah.
You got Martin Emerson in the first round. That was a swing and a miss.
Can we say that for sure, though?
Greg Newsom?
Greg Newsome is, I think, a good player, but I don't know that he's a first round. Like, they used a first round pick on him. I don't know if he's a first round talent.
I feel Greg Newsome. Here's how I know.
I'll say this on Martin Emerson real quick, because he has one good year, one bad year.
Did I say Emerson?
Yeah, you did.
No, you meant Newsome.
I meant Newsome.
Sorry.
I got you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that makes more sense. I think Martin Emerson's going to be okay in the long run.
Martin Emerson, for where they picked him at the third round.
Yeah. He's having a down year, but I think has a chance to still be a good player.
He's to me better than Greg Newsome, which is, you know, I guess it evens out. If you swing and miss on a first round pick,
yeah,
and then you get a third round pick to replace him. The Jed Wells pick was just disgusting.
That's the most egregious one for Barry, obviously.
Good gracious. It's so bad that they had to just sit him down. Like, we all seen the memes on the internet.
This is the first time he got benched. Like, legitimately, like, he was healthy and somebody else is starting over him, which tells you he's probably not. I mean, I don't think at this point there's any way he's back next year.
So you go and they say that's Andrew Berry, right? But you go to Kevin Stefanski. I think Kevin Stefanski gets the benefit of the doubt from the Browns fan base because he has awards attached to his name, right? However, if you go look at what this is, if you draft a quarterback, right, are you excited about a young quarterback in Kevin Stefanski's system at this point?
If it's the right one, yeah. Because I do think Kevin Stefanski has given us proof and evidence, like proof of concept, that he can get the most out of a quarterback and that system can really thrive. Now, he's done it with sort of like these oddball players at this point, right? It's been Jacoby Brissett looked maybe the best he's looked in his career when he was filling in before Deshaun came in. Joe Flacco in the tail end of his career, but even though he's now, I guess his career is revived now. And then obviously we saw Jameis that game 2 weeks ago where he was lighting it up in his first start. So I'm not trying to say like he can't do it with other young quarterbacks. It just has to be the right young quarterback that can fit that system.
So here's the strikes against Kevin Stefanski. You've had the best two quarterbacks with the most talent, Deshaun Watson and Baker Mayfield, did not work under your tutelage.
Well, I think Baker worked that first year together because that was the best year of his career until last year.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing. If you see Baker Mayfield and you had an opportunity to coach him 2 years, why did you make the evaluation that he was not good enough to play?
Well, that's what's funny about that, G. Bush, is like that then goes into the conversation about who really pushed the idea of pursuing Deshaun Watson in the first place, right? Because if Kevin Stefanski wasn't necessarily the biggest advocate for it, and he was more so like, I'll just do what I'm told, and it was more ownership and Andrew Berry and maybe Paul DePodesta urging them to go get Deshaun Watson because he thought he maybe could still make it work with Baker, then how do we know, like, how can we put that on Kevin Stefanski? Now, we do know at this point, Garrett, that it sounds like a lot of the issues with Baker Mayfield were centered around, like, maturity. Like, they didn't think he was mature enough to be, like, the leader of this team, and so that's a different conversation. 3-4 years later, he's clearly evolved as a person, and now he's doing great things again, and he seems like he's kind of mellowed out in that way.
Your record is your record.
Yeah.
And, look, if it's a fair assessment to say, if you were around Baker Mayfield and you felt he wasn't mature enough to take the team where it is, if I'm Jimmy Haslam, I say, listen, I hired you. I let you make that decision. You guys said in a year they needed to make a decision on whether a long-term answer or not. Y'all said, no, we're going to go ahead and we're going to go after Deshaun Watson, right? So they go after the Deshaun Watson, right? And they still didn't get it done with Deshaun Watson. And even up to the last point, in the last second, they were still saying Deshaun Watson gave them the best chance to win football games. Now, if you're on record saying that, I have a problem being like, okay, well, that's Baker, that's Deshaun Watson. Now I'm going to imagine that if you get Cam Ward, who kind of plays a little like Deshaun Watson, or Shedeur Sanders, who kind of fits a mold of a playmaker who tries to extend plays. Am I going to go out and draft those guys and put them in your system when we've seen quarterbacks who are playmakers or want to extend plays do not play well? That means you got to take those two guys off the board, and you might only be getting the third or fourth best quarterback in the draft.
Like Quinn Ewers or something like that, yeah. Listen, that is a very fair sort of debate to have, and it's why we could talk ourselves in circles about this on and on again, like who maybe is more responsible, who should be here, who shouldn't. I think sitting here today, because you cited all the draft misses, and some of this, like, I don't want to say I feel for Andrew Berry, but you can give him some grace in understanding, like, they gave him 3 first-round picks. When you're drafting in the third round and on, you're going to have a harder time hitting on guys. So his margin for error has been, like, razor thin, and it's been on his scouts and his department to be able to find the talent and the diamonds in the rough in that way, and they just haven't done it. I think that's been more egregious. Like, with Kevin, it feels like we've seen the results at least. So, yeah, like, if they identify the right quarterback, I trust Kevin Stefanski more at this point than I do trust Andrew Berry. I think that's where I'm at with it. But I don't know that there's, like, a definite answer, and other people are going to have different dissenting opinions on it, as you and I both have kind of already talked about.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.